Because we want to turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians right now, to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and we want to speak about willing to make difficult decisions, willing to make difficult decisions. Sean, I appreciate too just you and the worship team, and that song was a great blessing to have, and hopefully it can be reworked in today later on, I don't know, during communion or whatever, but it was a great blessing. So if you have your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, willing to make difficult decisions, we'd like to read a few of the verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, it has actually been reported that there is sexual immorality amongst you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named amongst the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who done this has done this deed might be taken away from amongst you. For I indeed, as absent in the body but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has done this deed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may have a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, the Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the leaven, with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And we'll pray. Father, we are blessed. We prayed, Lord, as we began the service, that your presence, your power would be right here with us. And my prayer was is that this day would be the most significant day in our Christian life and walk so far. Why not? You are here with us. It's your living word. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Why wouldn't we want to have an experience with you like never before? To know your greatness and your love and your power, and to have a willingness in our own heart to pursue the things that please you and to forsake the things of this world. Guide us through this study, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As we're looking here at this text and realizing that if we were a ministry that would just choose some specific scripture that I felt I'd like to teach on today, I love Romans 12. I love Romans 12, just speaking about what God has done. I love Romans 8, the power of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. But when we come to chapter 5 here, we're not just picking what's going to be good for us. As we go through the Bible, we receive the full counsel of God's word. And also, it prevents a pastor from bringing a specific text of scripture because he wants to direct something to a certain person or situation. As we go through the word of God, we trust that he's just synchronizing everything where it needs to be. And for that, I'm very thankful. As we take our eyes back to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and as we look at the scripture a little bit more in depth, my desire is that when we leave here today, we would want to walk in the beauty of holiness. This sense of really wanting to be, like the scripture said, be holy as I am holy. Now, there's a lot of confusion in this regard. Many times, people in my position want to present themselves to you as though I'm really the most holiest person in this room. And you all laugh because you know me too well. Probably the most sinful person in this room. But religion will do that. Religion will want to get over on you and convince you that there's a separation between those that are up here and those that are in the seat. As a matter of fact, people have used the word laity. Well, the laity. And it's just like, forget it. You're not going to hear that from me. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord. We are walking this walk and journeying and trying to do what God has asked us to do. Our salvation is certain. We're absolutely secure. We believe in the faithfulness of God. We see Israel as God still is going to work his work. He hasn't forsaken Israel. Because if he's forsaken Israel, then he'll forsake the church. It's just logical. No, he's here with us. And we're so great. So on this walk and on this journey, God says, let me instruct you along the way. So this book, 1 Corinthians, is written because the church is out of order. It's believers. It's the church in Corinth. It's a church that Paul established. It's a church that he dedicated a year and a half of time in ministry to. But on his third missionary journey, he's tipped off with the things that are going on in the church, and he's writing a letter to them. And we get to receive that letter as well. Because the Bible says, those who have ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And God's word is a work of the Holy Spirit given to us. Amen? Amen. So everything in this word applies right here to me and applies to us as well. And so when we see at the beginning in chapter 5 in verse 1, Paul says, here's the situation. There is immorality going on within the church. But this particular situation is a case of immorality that he speaks about. And again, if you notice in chapter 5, verse 1, that even the Gentiles, so those would be considered the pagans, the unbelievers outside the church know what's going on in the church with this specific guy. This guy is having sexual relationships with his father's wife. So the way this is all worded and in the study of it, it seems as though it may be his stepmother. And we don't know where his dad is at this particular place. All we know is that this is a pretty gross sin that is taking place. Now, what's happening is this fellow, this individual, sleeping with his father's wife, having sexual relations, and he's attending the church, but notice in verse 2, Paul's saying, this is happening, but you, church leaders, in this church at Corinth, this Christian church, you're puffed up. In other words, you're very proud. You're very proud. You're proud that you're tolerating this practice and this behavior that is well known amongst everybody, because again, in chapter 5, verse 1, it's actually reported. It means it has been well reported. Everybody knows what's going on in the church, outside the church. This is known. And he's saying, I can't believe you pastors, you leaders in this church. You're puffed up. You're filled with pride. You like the fact, you boast about tolerating this within the church. But listen, since Corinth, I don't know if we've moved very far from that. Because right now, in the spiritual landscape, there are well-known denominational churches, churches founded on the Word of God, churches believing the Word of God, churches upholding the Word of God, and now these churches, the leadership of these churches, have made accommodations to tolerate immorality. And not only accommodations to tolerate it, and they promote it. And this is it now. It's our stand. Shame on them. It saddens and weakens the body of Christ. God has spoken. God has spoken about every human relationship. God has spoken about sexuality in relationships. God has already declared what the truth is. The Supreme Court of our country is not the voice of God. They're not representing God. Although, as a believer, I need to pray for them and not harden my heart against them, but pray that the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit would fall upon them with deep conviction and deep remorse and call out to God for salvation and call out to God for wisdom with the responsibility they have. That's my responsibility, to pray for them. I also have a responsibility as a pastor to communicate the reality of the days in which we live. and are not afraid to do that. Listen, those who promote tolerance proclaim that it is a loving thing to do, and I challenge that. It is a very unloving thing to do. It's a very unloving thing to provide accommodations for something that is going to hurt somebody. It'll hurt them here on earth, and it'll hurt them after they leave earth here. The realities of that decision and the accommodation of that and the sanctioning of something that is unholy to say it's acceptable is a sin. But notice again back in the scripture, judgment begins at the house of God. It's here. It's with me. It's with us. We need to pray, God, search our hearts. Try me and see. Lord, if there is a wicked thing, a shadowy thing, a sinful thing in me, God, cleanse my heart. I don't want to be puffed up or proud or arrogant. That's why in a few moments when we have communion, we're going to have an opportunity for prayer before communion. It's a beautiful time of worship that we'll have together. But as we continue on looking and seeing, well, what do? How do you make difficult decisions? What should a leadership do? So Paul is saying, even though in verse 3, I'm away from you, so physically away, I'm declaring to you what you must do. This is what must take place. And he's saying in verse 4, there's the authority of God's word. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, his word has already made a declaration regarding this behavior, and you must move ahead in this way. Notice a response when we're dealing with difficult situations. So when we're dealing with a situation in the body of Christ, what the scriptures is saying about, he's not addressing those that have a certain sin, so to speak, and then you're out. Again, we're all sinners. So what is he speaking about? He's speaking about in a body of believers where there is a sense of sinful behavior and practices. It's known to be sinful. And you want to continue in that sin as a believer. You want to give yourself to that sin as a believer. You love that sin, and you don't want that sin to disappear from you. You want it. You own it. You claim it. And you promote it. And this is what I do as a believer. And it's to your destruction, and it's to the destruction of the body of Christ. And the body of Christ becomes weak. And the body of Christ is weak. And God is saying, that's not what I intended it to be. So how do you deal with this? Well, when we look at the scriptures here, we must go back because it says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 4, when you're gathered together, along with my spirit, in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's turn over to Matthew. It's in the gospel, Matthew. Matthew chapter 18. And let's see in Matthew chapter 18 how God could help us in situations where there's sinful practices, in a commitment to those sinful practices. Now, I want to make note, many times, coming from the world, the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of light, the sins that were really dominating my life before I was saved, the tendency in my life is to pursue those kinds of sins as a believer. My flesh knows what it's like. My flesh was trained in seeking these sinful things. So there's going to be a battle in my life. Be a battle probably for the rest of my life. But it's different. Somebody that is battling and saying, God, I need your help. Lord, I ask your forgiveness. Lord, I need your strength. That's absolutely different than what's taking place here. Again, the distinction is I'm sold out to the sin. I'm dedicated to this sin. There's not any sense of remorse in my life. There's a desire to do what I want to do, and you have no right to tell me I can't do it. And I'm still going to be here.
It's not going to happen.
So let's look. You see, in Matthew 18, again, let's see what Jesus has to say. It says in verse 15, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. Now, before we move forward, what I'm saying this morning has to do with church leadership, but it has to do with your own personal life as well. It has to do with leadership in your home, and it has to do with your personal walk with Jesus Christ. These truths, these principles can be on a large scale and on a very small scale. What's important is this. Listen now. In Galatians 6, it says, Galatians 6, 1, I believe, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, lest you also be taken away in a similar sin. The desire is always for restoration. The purpose is not condemnation. It's not isolation. It's not excommunication. No. It's to see a change in someone's life, to be restored back to Jesus. That's the purpose. As a matter of fact, Jesus, in Matthew 7, Sermon on the Mount, or 6 or 7, get it straight. I will. It is chapter 7. So in chapter 7, Sermon on the Mount, he's speaking about, judge not, lest you be judged. And everybody that's under a sense of sinful behavior, they know that scripture. That's their favorite verse. Judge not, lest you be judged. Bible says don't judge. Keep reading. It just says, in the measure that you judge, that judgment will be measured back to you. Of course we judge. My friends, judge this message, okay? Re-record it. So if there's something unbiblical that is being communicated, I stand accountable to you and to spiritual leaders over my life and to the Lord. Yes, you need to judge. We do judge. We don't make a judgment regarding someone's eternal destination. That's up to God. But yes, we judge. And what he says, a good measure is this. First pray and say, God, I'm seeing this in someone else's eye, but it might be just a speck in their eye. It actually is a log in my eye. What I see in them, if I sit and pray for a few minutes, this actually represents me, but in a worse way. So why do I say this? I say this because before we move ahead in any area, there has to be that humility before God. Humble me, Lord. Humble me. My desire is restoration. My desire is to help a brother or sister strengthen their walk with God. Finish the race strong. Don't get derailed along the way. So if you're sinning, if your brother, verse 15 of Matthew 18, if your brother sins against you, tell him his faults between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained a brother. Now, the situation would be is I would approach a brother that I knew of the situation, a sinful practicing situation that we've talked about. Are we clear about that? So I would say, we need to meet and talk. This is what I'm aware of. This is what I've heard. This is what I've seen. And we need to talk about this. We need to talk about this sin that's going on. As we talk, he may say, you know what? Thank you for reaching out. I'm so far off. And God has been showing me before you even showed up. I am so far gone with my walk with Jesus. Do you think there's any hope for me? Of course there is. Are you willing to repent? Yes. Are you willing to turn from this and turn to God? Oh, brother, I am so, yes, 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 whatever. I want to follow Jesus. I want to live for him. Okay, let's pray. And we pray. And then we realize that there's been damage that has been done. And so there's the need to go back to those that have been hurt. There's a need of restitution that has to take place. A sense of, yes, God forgave you, but there's people that are hurting along the way. And you're not free from that. That's all part of that. You follow me on this? Now, let me say another thing as well, because there's another principle here. We're in a spiritual battle, aren't we? There's two kingdoms that are going on. God rescued us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. We're in the kingdom of God, right? Right now? Yes? But that other kingdom still exists. And that God of that kingdom, the devil, Satan, and demonic realm, this is his strategy. His strategy is to convince you not to listen to me or any other pastor. A pastor that's in this position, giving out God's word, the strategy is to get in your mind something about me that makes you mad at me, angry at me, hostile towards me. And you'd rather just like, whatever. The only reason I'm here is because I have friends, and that's all. As soon as that guy's done, I'll get a coffee and be good. But I just got to tolerate him right now. No, I'm serious. That's the strategy of the enemy. What happens is someone tells you something about me. Oh, really? I thought there was something strange. What else do you know? What else do you know? Oh, yeah. Who else knows? Okay. So all of a sudden, there's little groups that the enemy uses, little groups to undermine what God is doing. Listen, if someone came up to me and said something about Sean, hey, did you hear about Sean? What are you talking about? Well, you probably didn't know this, but, oh, really? As a matter of fact, I didn't know that, but I know this man, and I've been with him. It doesn't sound like anything I know about him, but I will tell you, you have until this evening to tell him what you just told me and to talk to him. Because it says, if your brother has a fault or something against you, you go to him alone. So you go to him. And I'm calling him tomorrow and finding out if you talk to him. Listen, we need to grow up in this area. I'm serious in the body of Christ. I'm the most accountable guy, I believe, in this fellowship. There are senior pastors ready and willing. If I go sideways, they're going to get contacted. They're going to be involved here. And the Bible tells you that if you have a charge against me, it's two people, witnesses. It's really clear. It's in Timothy. There's a real clear direction in that area. And go for it. Do it. Do it. If I'm unbiblical in any way, well, I don't like the way you comb your hair. Okay, well, listen, I don't even have a comb, okay? So this is, I just fluff, wash, fluff, and go. My friends my age ask me, is that really your hair? I say, it's a toupee. I have to get it in by 5 o'clock, okay? I'm serious. I've had people that I thought were connected with me and going on. I remember a time, and I've shared this before, and they met with me afterwards, and the wife communicated, I can't keep coming anymore. Why? I thought it was good. She goes, well, the thing is, you don't look at me during the message. I don't feel connected to you. Okay, sorry. I'm so nervous anyways. I'm happy my eyes are open. By the way, I love you, 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 I love you. Please don't go. I'm saying that if we're going to be a body of believers that are not taken and used by the enemy, but used by God and the Spirit of God, then we got to do things the way God has for us. It's really clear. And if it's not only here, it's in your own home, and it's in your family, and it's in your workplace. It's the principle he's giving to us. If you say this, listen, let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth except what is necessary for the building up of the body of Christ. Listen, I said last week we need prayer, right? Were you here? I said, we're under battle. The church is under battle. Did you not hear at the end last week? Did you not see and hear this week about the shooting that took place? I'm just saying, from what I read, Christians were asked to stand, and if they confessed Christ, they were shot here, down the freeway. I almost wanted to go in the car just to go down there and to be with the families. My heart aches. I'm telling you, the battle is on. Do you agree? Spiritually speaking. So listen, stop the friendly fire within our own fellowship or within the body of Christ. Stop it. I am like a general moving ahead, serving God, any pastor is, for the people of God and the things of God. I'm willing to lay it down. We've done it. As a matter of fact, in our discipleship living on Friday, it was speaking about, and it'd be nice if everyone could follow along with that, but it was speaking about where Paul says, I wish you were like me. And what he meant is he was, as a minister, he was not married. Apparently he was married earlier in his life, but at this point he was not married. We're wondering why. Why is that? And then the gift of singleness was the question in there. But through that, you know, my heart really broke for my wife and other pastors' wives. Because we realize Paul is saying the cost of doing what you do, it's better if you have the gift of singleness to remain single because of the battles and the things that are coming upon and come upon a family. And I didn't tell you that, but I just loved you all the more. Your stock went up big time when we read that. But it just sank on me. I mean, it just sank in me. And that's why when we have the Word of God and we go through the Word of God and we're studying the Word of God, there's a great benefit. I mean, God speaks to us. Are we good so far? Let's look at number two. So the guy says to me, you know something, Pastor Tom? Hey, thanks for the coffee, but I got to go. I'm out of here. There's no repentance. Verse 16 of Matthew 18. If he will not hear you, take with you one or two more by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Every word will be established. So what he's saying, excuse me, I slept in the office. Downstairs we have an office. Just on the floor all night, and I was just like coughing and in agonizing over today, just trusting God for this message. If my dear friend says, you know, Pastor, thanks for taking the time, not interested, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to take a couple more brothers. Not for any reason of intimidation, three on one, no way. A sense of, you know what, maybe I didn't communicate very good. Maybe what I said wasn't clear. So you have some witnesses that are with you, and you're saying, we want to go through this again. We love you. We want to see you restored in your walk with Jesus. So these brothers are here because we love you. So I want to communicate again. They're here. We all see, because we have to take action. And he says, you know what, all you guys, I'm not interested. Then we come to a point of saying, then we have to make a declaration, because you're polluting the fellowship. You're more than a little leaven. You're a lot of leaven in what you're doing. You're a lot. And you're going to have to live outside of this fellowship. Well, you know, today what happens? People go, that's fine. I just go down the street. But I'll call that pastor down the street too. I'll talk to them. I will. We live, it's certainly different than 1 Corinthians in that time right there in that group, but it still applies. And our desire is for this person to return to Jesus. In my position and in your position, so the breadth of visibility, people that are in touch with me here, social media and everything else, if I fail spiritually, and this is measured out, it needs to be measured out to the breadth of anyone that I'm ministering to or have ministered to. That's the deal. Do you understand? So in your world, whoever needs to know needs to know. Why? Because it tells us in back in our verses in a few minutes, but and even right here, if he refuses, verse 17, to hear them, tell it to the church. If he refuses it to hear the church, let him be to you as a heathen and a tax collector. What he's saying is, he's going to be like an unbeliever. You have to treat that person that way. Now back to our text in 1 Corinthians 5. Remember, in 1 Corinthians 13, love believes all things, bears all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. We need to have that kind of love for one another in this fellowship and in the body of Christ. I believe the best. I believe the best in your life. I believe the best in your life. Even if you're going sideways, even if you're struggling with sin, I believe the best. I believe that God can redeem and apprehend. I will believe that to the very end. And even in the person that is set out, my heart aches. If your heart delights that they're out, then something's wrong with your heart. You want to see them back. As a matter of fact, 2 Corinthians were reintroduced to this very guy. He came back. He came back. But look what has to happen. Deliver such a one to Satan in verse 5. What that means is you're going back into the world. And we're cutting fellowship off with believers. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. I just want to reach out to him. I want to reach out to him in love and whatever else. Listen, it's not time for that. Listen, what we enjoy is fellowship with one another. There's a dynamic that we have. Well, let's just go fishing together. No, I'm not going. I'm not going to do any of the things we used to do. The highest priority is your relationship with Jesus and to return to him. And the reason I'll meet with you is to help you return to Jesus. Obviously, if you're hurt in the hospital, I'm going to be there. I mean, there's situations, of course, you're going to be there for sure. But what he says is this in verse 6. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Just a little bit. Just a little bit. So we remove ourselves from this extreme situation and we think about our own lives. And what are you putting into the recipe in the body of Christ? What are you putting into this recipe? A little leaven. If there was, I said, a great meal, and by the way, there was probably one little teeny cilantro, a little teeny thing. It just had a little E. coli in it, but it's just a little guy. It's just a little thing. We've got this big lasagna dish later on. Just a teeny little E. coli. It's in there somewhere, but it's not that big of a thing. It's just a little thing. You would bolt from this. Matter of fact, you wouldn't even have communion today. You wouldn't do it. And he's saying the same thing. You have the opportunity to build up the body of Christ or to tear down. The body of Christ to be strong and to be powerful and to do God's work is men and women who are committed to Christ to say, listen, be ye holy as he is holy. If there's a situation that arises, God has put in place a certain process, a certain method to do that. I'm not going to allow you to undermine a pastor, a leader, or a husband, a wife, or anything. If I hear one spouse talking bad about the other spouse, I'm on it. No. Don't. Right? Or otherwise, we'll just be not what God wants us to be. So we get a chance here this morning to look to the Lord and to say, God, I want that. Notice in verse 8, it says, therefore, or verse 7, purge out the old leaven, a new lump, truly unleavened, for indeed Christ the Passover was sacrificed for us. The Passover lamb, to get out of Egypt, they had to be in a room, and the doorway of the room, blood had to be put on the doorway. So blood on the top and blood on the sides. What does that look like to you? A cross. And behind that, in that room, the angel of death passed over. Why? Because the blood protected them. The blood delivered them from death. That's the Passover. And Jesus is our Passover lamb. And his blood has cleansed us from all of our sins. And he's saying, we want to purge out any leaven. Do you understand? We want to purge it out. We say, God, I just want to have a pure heart before you. Not a malice heart. Not a malice, you know, saying things. Unnecessarily critical, undermining, and wickedness. But instead, sincerity and truth. Sincerity and truth. Sincerity and truth. That's where love is at. Sincere love, sincere truth. Amen.